doing a series on the spirit of Antichrist. What does it mean in the Bible when it talks about the spirit of Antichrist? And what type of a spirit has to permeate the culture in order for the world, and let's focus on America, and for America to be willing to accept the rule of the Antichrist? And so we've seen a lot of things in the last year that I think have answered a lot of our questions. You notice this more and more. Are you watching the advertisement? Are you seeing the billboards? Are you seeing the commercials? More and more the idea of this vaccination becoming more and more, they're becoming more demanding. They're more insistent. All of a sudden, we've got a president that says, those of you that have not taken it, you will pay a price. I mean, that's ominous. Think about that. What? Excuse me? Since when? Come on. We can use, and I've said this, but I'm going to say it again. We can use my body, my choice to murder 61 million babies, but I don't have a right to say my body, my choice when it comes to you injecting something into it. And yet, folks, what is this all about? I mean, we can be affronted as Americans because of them ignoring our liberty and our freedoms. But as a Christian, we take a step back and we can see it differently than the world is. We're like, what is this setting us up for? And more now people are being put in a negative light. You know, those who won't do it, they're the problem. Those that won't do it need to start paying a price. Those that won't do it, there needs to start being some restrictions of things they are allowed to do and not allowed to do until they cave and do it. Well, folks, I don't think this is just about a vaccine. I think it's preparing America for a mindset. When I talk about the spirit of Antichrist, I'm talking about all of these things working together to change the thinking of the world so that when Antichrist does appear, it's going to be almost normal to accept what he stands for and what he represents. And all of the prophecies of the book of Revelation, all of a sudden, that we couldn't see. I mean, and I used to think that mark of the beast, I mean, it's right there in the Bible. Anybody that can read the Bible, anybody that's heard any preaching or teaching, they're going to know. Come on, who's going to do that? Well, if you aren't allowed to go in and get groceries without it, all of a sudden you're not allowed to get medical care without it. You're not allowed to get the medicines you need without it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that these things are going to be put in place. And so we want to talk about that. We're getting there, and thank you for your patience with this. But I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 5, because I want to show you a very important shift that has to happen in order for a nation, a country, to be able to accept one day the Antichrist. Remember, the Bible says that there are many Antichrists. Now, there's only going to be one that is the Antichrist, but to prepare the way for the Antichrist, we have to have people in key positions that are Antichrists. Now, sometimes we can get a knee-jerk reaction. So you're calling this person an Antichrist? Well, folks, Antichrist, let's break it down. What's the definition? Whatever Christ is for, if you are for the opposite, you are Antichrist. Whatever Christ teaches is truth. If you say it's a lie, then you are Antichrist. In that area of your life, you're Antichrist. Remember, Jesus Christ took the title of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let me say it this way. If the Bible says something, and you say the opposite, then you are Antichrist because you can't separate Jesus Christ from the Word of God. And so we have to understand that when we talk about the spirit of Antichrist, folks, come on, look up here. There's Antichrist teaching in our local public schools right now. The universities and colleges are full of Antichrists that walk in front of young impressionable minds every day. Say, Antichrist, Antichrists. They stand up and they mock the existence of God. They don't believe the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in a hell. They don't believe anything came before them, anything's going to come after them. They don't believe in a judgment seat. They don't believe anything this book. Now think about this, because, you know, where does humanism, and boy, I got so much information I'm going to give to you that we're going to really fast forward and hit as much. I've got a lot. Matter of fact, when the preacher walks up, not with his notes, but with a folder, you know that we're okay, I'm going to give you a lot of different things. We're going to get into some of it this week, lay some foundation. Next week, get some a lot more of the specifics. But you have to understand more and more that it's not just the views of a few wackos or a few atheists or a few agnostics that are out there. It's becoming the mindset of the general population of our country. An anti-Christ, anti-Bible, and anti-Christian view. And we are more and more being placed as the problem and the enemy. I mean, this whole idea of vaccinations and refusing to get vaccinations, one of the articles I'm going to read to you is the idea that that the stronghold against vaccinations is in Bible-preaching churches. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but they're already making sure that, these people are the problem. You know, how in the world did Hitler get Germany to the point where they were willing to so identify a certain type of people that the only way that our nation is going to be what it needs to be is to exterminate them? Now, folks, it already happened once. Don't tell me it can't happen again. That's why your preacher says at least every year, at least one time, and I've done this for 20 years, I read some kind of book on the Holocaust, because we better remember that men turned over to evil can do unthinkable things. And there's not a lot of places that I care to leave the country anymore. Honestly, if I never left the country, I'd probably be happy. But there's a couple places that I think I wouldn't mind going to Germany. I wouldn't mind walking through one of those concentration camps. Now, I've read it and I've seen the pictures, but I think we better keep these things in front of us. Because the same type of anti-Jewish sentiment that was being propagated before the atrocities that happened in Germany is the same. If you look at, we're going to talk about propaganda. Did you read the chapter on propaganda? Did you read the story on making a noble cause or something like that? Naming a noble cause, folks. You can take and package evil in such a way that the vast majority of the population think they're doing good by supporting evil. And this is what we're going to read in Isaiah. Let's get the scriptures here. Isaiah chapter number 5. And let's look at verse number 18. Woe to them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were a carpet rope, that say, let us make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto him that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle drink. Which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Now, folks, does any of this sound familiar? Amen. This is going on right now in the United States of America. Notice, though, we better pay attention to the ramifications of this. Is God going to just stand by and let a nation do these things? Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. Please listen to me, folks. It's not about what they say it's about. It's about their hatred of this book. You see, folks, people that are given over to humanism cannot stand the thought that there's a book by God that tells them, thou shalt or thou shalt not. They want no absolutes. They want no boundaries on their wickedness. They want to decide what is good, and they want to decide what is evil. And woe to an old-fashioned Bible preacher that stands up and says, thus saith the Lord. And so that's where we're at. Look at verse 25. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. Now, if he'll judge Israel for this, he's going to judge America. And he that stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcass were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your help today. So help this preacher, help me stay focused, Lord. Help me to go where I need to go and know where, when to pull back into the outline. So Lord, just, Lord, keep this focused on you. And Lord, we're going to cover some things that honestly, if we didn't know the end of the story, if we didn't know the end of the book, we'd leave so discouraged. But Lord, it's so important. Yeah, we're going to point out darkness, but Lord, that just means we need to shine bright. And Lord, we've known this. We've always known this if we've been reading the Bible, that in the last of the last days, perilous times shall come, and America is facing some perilous times. And Lord, I believe we've just seen the tip of the iceberg. But I pray, dear God, we would ready ourselves, and Lord, that we'd be always looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. And so this is one of the things that has to be accomplished in order for a spirit of Antichrist to permeate a culture, the thinking, a herd mentality, the mentality of the masses to begin to believe something. And think about this. Here's the task at hand. They have to get America to the point where we call evil good and good evil, where we put darkness for light and light for darkness. We put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And think about how deceived a person has to become in order for that to happen. If I was to hand you a lemon and I'd say, I want you to bite into that lemon, and then you bit into it and I said, now, what does that taste like? And you'd say, oh, that's sweet. See, that goes against your senses, goes against common sense. It goes against your God-given sense of taste. Okay, so you imagine how masterful and how deceitful the devil and the Antichrist has to be to where America is looking at something that is dark and saying, well, that's light. And then looking over at the light and saying, that's dark. And picking up and tasting sugar and saying, oh, that's bitter. And taking a lemon and saying, that's sweet. And when you're watching what people are talking about and some of the things they're saying, you just say to yourself, have you lost your mind? Have you lost all your senses? I'm not even talking about whether or not you know the Bible or not. I'm talking about whether or not you have good common sense anymore. How in the world can you stand there and say that that is good when it's evil? And how in the world can you call evil good? So that's what has to happen. Now, that's a sizable task. There has to be, that's why one of the reasons I gave you that book. I'll refer some to the book next week. I won't say a lot about it this week. But if you haven't read it, read it. Please read it. Please read it. Okay. How many times does your pastor come here and ask you to do much of anything specifically like that? I do general preaching, but I don't usually give homework and assignment. Please read it, okay? If not, give it back to me because I got people that are waiting for one, all right? Just take it, leave it laying on your dresser. One of the reasons that this is accomplished is because we won't read. We won't read history. We won't read from people. I think God gives in every generation, it's S-E-E-R, they call them seers, or sometimes you call them seers. And you know what those are? Those in every generation, God gives us men who have the ability to not just see what something appears to be, but to see what it truly is and to say, don't be deceived. And I think there's a lot of that in that book. Okay, very good. Now, so the spirit of Antichrist has to normalize evil, has to make evil acceptable, okay? Now, keep that in mind, and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read about the last days, last times, description of them. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. And the Bible says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." I'm looking for something. All right, despisers of those that are good. Brother Nathan, would you go on my desk and get my book, A Teenage Guide to Healthy Relationships? I think I left it there. All right, I'm back. Verse 3, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Ladies, listen, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts." That's not following that verse by accident. Okay? I'm going to teach. I'm teaching on Sunday nights on Satan's attacks. Satan's attacks. And there are some attacks that work on men that wouldn't work on women. There are some attacks that work on women that won't work on men. And one of the things that you have to be aware of is that you are more susceptible to the, I'm going to say it, put your seatbelt on, you're more susceptible to the deceitfulness of Satan. You don't believe me? Let's go back and read Genesis 3. I'm sorry, but Adam wasn't deceived. And some of the things, the way they're wording them and the way they're presenting them, it speaks to the heart of a woman to where she wants to rise up with that maternal, protective, you know, that's wrong, we got to do something about it. But be careful the way they are presenting it. Okay? You know how you end up being a silly woman laden with sin? You start living on emotions instead of living on the facts of the Bible. And more I'm watching, come on, I'm just going to say it. I said, Brother Rice, the other day, he's had growth and he's seeing people saved and he's seeing families join the church. But you know what he's seen over the last year? Two or three or four families leave. And I said, who's leading them out the door? And he said, Preacher, you know the answer to that. I said, say it. He said, I've never lost a man. He said, I've never lost a man. Now, ladies, you better understand. I'm pleading with you to understand that there's a lot of things that are being presented in such a way. The devil knows how to appeal to a woman. And you know what? The head may, my dad used to say this, the man may be the head, but the woman's the neck. And a lot of times, the neck is what's turning the head. And you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. It's quiet, but it's good that it's quiet. Don't be offended by what the Bible says. The Bible's warning against some things. Okay? So that's why there's going to be times when you want to have an emotional reaction to something, and your husband is not having that emotional reaction, and you need him to lead. You need him to talk you off the cliff. Okay? And that's why you need to, come on. That's why you need to submit to your husband. There's going to, you know, well, I go along with him most of the time. Well, you agree with him most of the time. It's not submission if you agree with him. It's only submission when you don't agree with him. Okay? And so I'm going to show you that more and more. Folks, listen. Most of the deceitfulness, a lot of the deceitfulness and a lot of the things we've accepted, it's come through the women's rights movements. Now, why do we buy into abortion? Wasn't because of men's rights. Why do we deal with the level of immodesty we are? I'm sorry, folks, but men's dress hadn't changed that much in the last 50, 60 years. Has some. I'm not excusing immodesty on men, but Why are we where we are morally? When the Bible uses this phrase in Romans 1, even their women. It was almost like the last bastion of decency and modesty that should have stood. Okay, remember what I say. I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to raise you up. You hear your preacher say that the best thing God ever made was the last thing. Everything he made in the creation story was one step up. I'm telling you, women are the best thing God ever made. Last thing and the best thing he ever made. When I hear women say, well, I want to be equal with men, I'm like, please don't. You'll be stepping down. Okay? And I mean that with all of my heart. I mean that with all of my heart. But I think because of that, the devil goes after women in a way because he knows that's the best thing God ever made. And he goes after that, after y'all in a way, so just be careful. All right, here we have these perilous times. We have the sins of the perilous times. What's the word, that little phrase, perilous times? What does that mean, preacher? If you study the word out and you ignore Dan Goodwin and you use the Greek, then you can find out that perilous times means the idea of reducing the strength. Reducing the strength means difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce times, perilous times. That little root word there, root word that we get the phrase perilous times from, means to lower, to bring down, to weaken, to create an atmosphere that makes life difficult and dangerous and furious and fierce instead of peaceful and prosperous. And that's what's happened to America. Folks, listen to me. Come on, you've watched the same news. You've read the same stories. I feel like I've been watching a third world country half the time. Amen. What's happened? Well, what's happened is we're entering into perilous times. How does that happen? It happens when we are convinced that the list of sins that we just read are normal things, should be normal, should be considered as normal things. And so we've got to be careful. The spirit of Antichrist thrives in the incubator of perilous times. When we talk about this weakening, morals must be weakened. Standards must be lowered. Good must become evil. Sin must be normalized, then accepted, then defended, then championed. In order for that to happen, good at the same time must be vilified, then persecuted, then outlawed, and eventually exterminated. What we're seeing is, listen, I want you to understand what we're seeing. What we're seeing in America is a war between God and the devil. It's between good versus evil, right versus wrong, the word of God versus the mandates of humanism. And it's playing out right in front of our eyes. Now, how does this happen? Go back and think about what we read in Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, what we were founded on was Christian principles. Folks, there's always been a level of paganism. There's always been sin. There's always been unbelievers. But they've always been a very small minority. And as we're blessed, and as we grew as a nation, we can go back through history. I could take you to the 1800s. It's not like all this started in 1960. There's been different times that there's been attack against the morals and attack against the word of God, and we can do that whole study. But what we're seeing now is this accelerated to a frightening rate. And there was something very significant that shifted in the 1960s and 1970s. And all of a sudden, things that everyone since the founding of our country believed to be right, all of a sudden begin to be questioned. And we begin to see an entire nation throw off, the young people throw off the traditions of their father and their mother and the Bible teaching of their grandma and their grandpa and the belief system, and just to give themselves over to lasciviousness. If it feels good, do it. And that started because all of a sudden they were coming in out of public schools and universities where the spirit of Antichrist first found a stronghold. And if you can alter the thinking of the young people, you can alter a nation. And you think about where those people are now. Okay, I was born in 1961, so I lived through the 60s and the 70s, and you think about everyone that's 60 years of age and older is about the same group. guess what? That whole group now is leading the world, leading the nation. And they're in political power. And it's gotten worse since then. It seems like every generation that comes in, so they push the envelope a little more. They get a little more bold in their condemnation of good and a little more questioning when it comes to Christian principles and Bible principles and what should be right and what should be wrong. To now we have people in high places that are absolutely anti-Christ, and they're not even pretending not to be. They're attacking the very foundation of our nation, the very foundation, scriptural foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, we're just under a full-fledged attack now. You say, well, preacher, how does that happen? This will help us. Because you know what? If you're not careful, it's happening not just in the world, but it's happening in our own homes. It's happening in our own minds. This is something I haven't done in some time, but it's good to do it. You know, it used to be, okay, let's go back 50 years. Here we have the world and its standards, and we have the church and its standards. And this is 50 years ago. And the world just kept moving more and more towards evil, and the church just kept a respectable distance so that we never quite looked like the world. But we moved with them. And now, 50 years later, the world is a lot worse. But look where the church is now. It's where the world was 50 years ago. Now, this is how it's supposed to happen. Here we are standing on the biblical principles. Here's the world. That's how it's supposed to happen. We're not supposed to move at all. It's almost like, well, the world is doing this, and we'll just start doing this because we're not as bad as the world is. But the problem is we've been doing that over the last 50, 60 years, and now you go into the average church, and you wonder if you're in a nightclub. You talk to the average person that's teaching Sunday school, and you talk about you listen to their stories of what they consider entertainment, what they're involved with, and what they're eating and drinking habits are. Come on. It's like, you know, used to be booze was wrong. Now the Sunday school teacher drinks it. The preacher drinks it. I mean, it's like, you know, but at least we're not on cocaine, I guess, yet. And that's what's happened. Listen, the devil's lulling us asleep. And it's easy to say, well, that's terrible. Well, let me ask you this. What are you watching on TV right now that you wouldn't have watched 20 years ago? What do you sit there and you would have turned it off in a heartbeat 20 years ago? I ain't watching that filth. And now you're watching it? What would you have tolerated? What are you listening to on the radio? Anybody use a radio anymore? What are you listening to and whatever you're listening to that you wouldn't have listened to 20 years ago, 25? Come on. Wait a minute. What are you tolerating in your children now that you wouldn't have 10 years ago? Come on, ladies. What are you buying and what are you wearing now that you wouldn't have 10, 15, 20 years ago? Well, I haven't moved that much. Well, the problem is the last generation didn't move that much, and we haven't moved that much. The next generation's going to, come on, whatever we do, a little, they'll do a lot. So, you know, we just got to say, where does the Bible stand? Where does the Bible stand? You know, it's funny because so many, even our independent Baptist churches, I just sat back and popped the popcorn and laughed. Those that have compromised on dress standards. Because when this whole thing happened and the transgender men started wearing dresses, and everybody's flipping out, I'm just kind of laughing. Popping the popcorn. Well, wonder why they got the idea they could dress like a... Wonder where they got the idea that it's all right to dress like a woman. Huh. I just want us to go to a bunch of women that, by the way, at one point never did that. But decided to let down on that and say, you don't think you might be part of the problem? Yeah, we needed to get quiet. Because that's just one area, folks. And the more we just keep compromising, the more we're losing it. And then will compromise in the area of dress and then have a hissy fit because the world compromises. Don't worry. There'll be a day when you'll go to a Christian camp, and out of the dorm rooms will come boys with skirts on. What are you going to say? Come on, what are you going to say? Right. I mean, you got a verse? I didn't say a half a verse. You got a verse. And what are you doing? I'm blowing the trumpet. You say, well, preacher, this people that believe women only ought to wear dresses or skirts, that's extremism. It wasn't extremism in the 1950s. It was the norm in the 1950s. So let me ask you, has this whole thing gotten better? I mean, has women become more feminine and more modest? And I mean, it's going in the right direction. Then why are we following it? You know, what's so exciting to me is, I mean this, I preach around camps and more, this is crazy. But I'm telling you, some of this is coming full circle. You say, you don't preach this when you go out, do you? Oh, yeah. You don't preach this to teenagers. Oh, yeah. And we have young people that come forward that are raised in Christian homes. And they listen to the Bible and they see what it says. Young ladies. And they're like, you know what? Great grandma never dressed that way. Something slipped between them, where they were and where I am. But I can get that back where it ought to be. Been really interesting to see now a generation. And you know what, folks? If a young lady comes home and she wants to. Now think about this. I'm not saying she's running around condemning anybody else. She wants to make the decision to dress gender specific and feminine and like a lady. Do you know when they go back to these churches, the people that attack them the most? It's not the world. It's the crew. It's the ladies that at one time did but don't. And now they're turning around trying to kill this young girl because I want to look at them and say, do you have a conviction against modest skirts? Come on. Because what's happened? Now, not only do they want their evil to be good, they want to make the good be evil. Right. And it's happening in every area of society, folks. I mean, come on. I can get into this, but homosexuality, there wasn't even a question as far as to the wickedness and the evilness of that 50, 60 years ago. It's not like folks, it's taken us 200 years to change in this. Or in fact, the vast majority of the shift has happened in the last 8 to 10 years. In your lifetime. Even the youngest ones in here. I mean, when we started fighting the battle, now this has been 5, 6 years ago. When we started fighting the battle against an attempt in the state of Indiana to legalize homosexual marriages. Okay, and your preacher was right in the middle of it. Okay. And you know, here we are trying to pass bills through that sets the standard for our state, no matter what the rest of the nation decides. We believe that marriage, heaven forbid, is between a man and a woman. That's the big stand we're trying to establish here. Okay. And so that was the only thing on the radar. Nobody had mentioned transgender yet. When I say nobody, I mean nobody when I was in the middle of this battle. All it was about was legalization of homosexual marriage. So your preacher writes a letter to the editor. And this one's out of the Linton paper, I think, maybe Bloomington paper, which I love that it got printed in the Bloomington paper since that's the Sodom and Gomorrah of the Midwest. Now, folks, this is before any of this transgender stuff started. Here's what I wrote. Now, I want you to think in that short amount of time, what's happened? I wrote an article entitled, Who's Next in Line? And it got published in, I think, 14 different main newspapers, every major large city. I got that in there. Who's next in line? Here's what I wrote. So you are open-minded to the idea of homosexual marriage. Prepare to open your mind a bit more before you pat yourself on the back for being more tolerant than your forefathers, more enlightened than your great grandparents, and wiser than the Bible. You might want to consider the long line of endless perversions waiting in excited anticipation for the courts to decide if homosexual marriage will be legalized in Indiana. After all, if a person's sexual perversion, or for the politically correct, sexual preference, cannot be discriminated against, then understand there is a multitude of perversions waiting in line behind the smiling sodomite couples. All of these preferences are going to eventually demand to be legalized, embraced, and tolerated as normal. This is back when I had to explain this. LGBT stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. What is a transgender? Man wakes up one day and decides he is really a woman trapped in a man's body. He is more comfortable using the woman's bathroom at the hometown restaurant or the girl's dressing room at your local hometown swimming pool. Who are you to discriminate? Don't worry. Your 9-year-old daughter will be just fine showering beside him. Remember, you're open-minded. Bisexual. A man wants to add a gay partner to his traditional marriage. Who are we to deny him his rights? A woman wants a wife and 3 husbands. Sure, why not? Maybe she was born that way. Marry your sister? Okay. I mean, who are we to judge? In love with your German shepherd? Come on down to the county clerk's office. And our open-minded, smiling politicians will help you and Fido fill out the paperwork. You say, well, that hadn't come yet. Everything else I have. Watch, it will. Right. Bottom line, listen, you cannot legally sanction one level of perversion and then deny the same rights to the next. And there is a long, long line of next. Pastor Jerry Ross, Jasonville, Indiana. My name's on that. Now, when I wrote that, I was shish kebab. I mean, they had the comment part. And I was, this is not about that. That, it's not about transgender. This is just about homosexual marriage. That will never happen. He's an extremist. He's making up stuff. He's being a scaremonger. He's being a fearmonger. And it wasn't 3 years later that Target, and don't forget that, Target. You don't shop at Target. Don't buy coffee from the homo there in Linton either, or pizza. Where's your common sense? Good night. I've got an article about them I'll read you next week, okay? Yeah, there they are, 2 of our local Linton businessmen dressed in dresses picketing across the street from us. Have we forgotten already? I had a Baptist preacher told me, I know that what happened to your church, that's terrible, but man, I sure like that pizza so much. They just said, so good pizza. I know young ladies that I've told, there's a young lady whose name I almost called. And she says, she goes every morning down there and she goes to an Independent Baptist church down there to get coffee. I said, don't you realize that they were picketing outside of a Bible preaching church and you still, well, I know, but I can get a really good cup of coffee there. Is that where we're at? Come on, man. If we won't stand any more than that,
come on, man. You know?
What's happened, preacher? Spirit of Antichrist. Oh, we just stuck my toe in the water. I stuck 4 of my toes in the water right there. We'll dive in next week. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, we're just watching this, and dear God, we're watching it, but in some ways we're participating in it. So, Lord, help us. Yeah, judgment's got to help start at the house of the Lord. And Lord, if we want to see a revival, it's got to start with us. Maybe we haven't compromised as much as the world. We sure have thrown some wood on the fire. So Lord, help us to just let you search our hearts. Help us to get back to the Bible in all areas, whether we were raised that way, not raised that way, whether we've slipped, whether we've given up ground. Help us just go back to the Word of God and say, God, wherever you stand, I'm going to stand. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help our nation. We just got started with the spirit of Antichrist. Lord, more and more I'm reading things that just make me think. I mean, our neighbors to the north, they're building fences around churches. confiscating the property and building fences, high fences around churches to keep Christians from gathering and worshiping and preaching. Preachers are standing on the street and videos coming to my phone of the police pulling them down, yanking them down, handcuffing them just for preaching what the Bible says. I don't know if we think that that's so far away that it can't touch us, but that's knocking at our door. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll take a 10-minute break and meet back for our morning service.